You are listening to Real Bible Answers, a weekly podcast of Life Heritage Ministries with teacher and author, Dr. Keith Augustus Burton.
Welcome to another edition of Real Bible Answers, where the answers are always realistic, exegetical, applicable, and lasting. Now, this week, we're going to give the second part of the answer to the question that was posed last week, and I'll repeat that question. Dear Dr. Burton, can you explain Colossians 2:14 through 17? Isn't this clear evidence that the Old Testament law was nailed to the cross? Now, in part one of our answer, we saw that the phrase the King James Version translated handwriting of ordinances actually referred to the record of sins of humanity that was nailed to the cross with Jesus. As such, Colossians 2:14-15 cannot be used to support the belief that the law was nailed to the cross. But what are we to make of Colossians 2:16-17? Aren't these clear statements that condemn those who still adhere to customs inscribed in the law? Well, let's take another look at these verses in their immediate context. Now, the fact that verse 16 starts with the word therefore suggests that it should be read in light of the passage that precedes it. Now, since members of his audience had been liberated from the demonic powers, Paul says that they should not allow anyone to condemn them. This echoes the sentiment of Romans 8:1, where Paul says that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, given the specifics of the verse, the areas at which they were subject to condemnation concerned dietary habits, that's eating and drinking, and the observance of days, that's festivals, new moons, and Sabbaths. Now, with the references to food and drink and, of course, these special days, it's no wonder that some people believe that Paul is talking here about the obsolescence of Mosaic laws. However, the key to understanding this passage is found in a parallel incident in Romans chapter 14, where the common issue of Gentile adjustment into the customs of covenant people is discussed in greater detail, and you could also take a look at 1 Corinthians 8 or 1 Corinthians 10. Now, the new believers would have been introduced to new dietary habits, and as in the case of Corinth in 1 Corinthians 8, some may have been concerned about the ritual purity of the meat sold in the market, and would have condemned those who decided to continue eating it. Now, as it relates to special days, it is obvious that many Christians of Jewish heritage still adhered to the ceremonial calendar. Even Paul himself attempts to reach Jerusalem in time for Passover. He also observes the festival of unleavened bread, and he even goes as far as fulfilling the requirement of a Nazarite vow. And you can look at Acts chapter 18, verse 18, Acts 25, and 16, also Acts 21, 26, to see the references for these. However, it is possible that as in a church at Rome, there may have been an element in the congregation that criticized those who felt that ceremonial Sabbaths were as binding as weekly Sabbaths, and this seems to have been the case in Romans chapter 14, verses 5 through 6. Now, in encouraging the congregation to stay strong in the face of criticism, Paul does not condemn those who are convinced about the importance of the ritualist demands of covenant obligation. I think I need to make that clear. He's not condemning them here. In fact, in verse 17, he reminds the congregation that these things are a shadow of what is about to come. Now, I'm not sure if you heard what I said this. I'll repeat it. These things are a shadow of what is about to come. Now, some translations incorrectly state that these were a shadow. However, Paul does not use a past tense, he uses the present tense. These are a shadow. He does not view them as obsolete. They are relevant practices foreshadowing a heavenly reality. In other words, these things point to the soon-to-come messianic kingdom where the redeemed worship God every new moon and every Sabbath, Isaiah chapter 66, verse 23. Whatever internal differences may have been taking place in the community over how to keep the food laws or whether a ceremonial Sabbath was as binding as the weekly Sabbath, Paul reminds the congregation that the body is of Christ. In other words, when a Christian looks for their identity, they don't find their identity in their own self-righteousness, their self-righteous condemnation of what others are practicing, or even a libertarian condemnation of what others are practicing. But a Christian's true identity is found in Christ and Christ alone. I trust this helps. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Real Bible Answers. If you have a Bible question for Dr. Burton, you may send it to BibleAnswers@LifeHeritage.org. Again, that's BibleAnswers@LifeHeritage.org. Or you can send it via MP3 to BibleAnswers@Podomatic.com. That's BibleAnswers@Podomatic.com. Feel free to visit the Life Heritage webpage on www.lifeheritage.org, from where you can access a number of services to help your spiritual life. We also appreciate your donations, which can be given securely online with your credit card, or if you prefer, you may send a check or money order to Life Heritage Ministries, P.O. Box 56, Harvest, Alabama, 35749. That's Life Heritage Ministries, P.O. Box 56, Harvest, Alabama, 35749. Again, thanks for listening, and always remember that a tree is known by its fruit.